Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence in You. I am your guest host for today, Rebecca Miller, and our co-host, of course, is the wonderful Otto Loos. We have been speaking with New York State Senator Anna Kaplan, one of North Hempstead's prides, and where we have very filled with pride to have Senator Kaplan from North Hempstead, and also a councilwoman here for 7 years. We were talking to before the break, Senator Kaplan, about a New York State in the Senate last night that the passing of a banning of receivers. So you were kind of in detail before we went to the break. So I'm hoping that we could just pick up where we left off.
As I said, you can go ahead online and order these receivers, unfinished receivers, online, and have them delivered to your home in 3 days, and with a DVD walking you through every single step of assembling a firearm. Based on our federal government's law that were passed in 1968, every gun, every manufacturer of a firearm, or an importer of a firearm, has to make sure that each gun has a serial number and it gets registered. These 80% finished receivers don't have a serial number, which makes it very difficult for our law enforcement when they recover them in crime scenes to trace. And almost everyone is on the same page that this is important regulation, that every gun should have a serial number and be registered. And if you look at a finished receiver and unfinished receivers, they are identical with the exception of maybe 4 holes that you can drill to assemble the gun. So, and as we've seen, there's been a big rise during this pandemic for purchase of firearms throughout the country. In between March to May, in New York alone, we have seen a uptick of 32% of purchasing of firearms. Throughout the country, that number is 80%. We need to make sure that we do everything in our power that our communities are safe. This was a companion bill that I passed with my colleague, Senator Hoylman. My bill was basically banning possession of these kits and these pieces that you could put together. One piece that's meant to be very easily turned into a finished receiver. His bill is to make sure that every gun that is already out there as a ghost gun, which doesn't have a serial number, to get a serial number and to be registered. Our Attorney General, Tish, has done a lot. Just last 2 weeks ago, she passed and sent a cease to 17 manufacturers that they cannot sell those guns to New Yorkers because it violated the SAFE Act. But there are over 85 of these manufacturers throughout the country. So it's really important. I'm really blessed to have been able to bring this up to the Senate floor for my leader, Andrea Stewart Cousins, allowing me to bring it to the floor for a vote. We passed it with 40 to 20. Unfortunately, my Republican colleagues decided not to pass and vote for it, but we had the majority and we were able to pass it. And I'm looking forward to working and making sure this gets passed through the assembly and then it goes to the governor for his signature and making it into a law.
And a question on that. People have guns without serial numbers. What would the process be? Should they then go somewhere, or, you know, what's the process? How do you get a serial number, and how do you put a serial number on a gun? I'm not a gun owner, but just, you know.
I'm not either, but there is a procedure. You can go ahead. Every county has their officers. You can apply for an application and fill the application and become a licensee and get serial numbers to put on your gun. Or there are people who actually do that for you. To become a licensee, the fee is $25 for New York City, Nassau County, and Suffolk County, and $10 for the entire rest of this state. And all law-abiding gun owners understand the importance of having a serial number. This talks about people who want to evade going through a background check. And through a study that one of the every town has done, their numbers indicate out of the 114 federal cases of finding these guns, the people who try to obtain them are people who will not go through background check. And if they did, they would not qualify to obtain a gun.
What's the penalty if you're caught with a gun that doesn't have a serial number?
Well, we don't have, first, this law has to be go into effect.
Right.
Which means assembly has to pass it and the governor has to sign it into law. After that, we're giving them 180 day to come in compliance. And anyone else who is a gun enthusiast and hobbyist has another 6 months. So basically giving them 1 year to come into compliance with this.
Right.
But that those guns wouldn't be able to be sold here to residents of state of New York.
And if you don't comply after the 1 year and you get caught with such a gun or you commit a crime with such a gun, what would that do to?
There are several steps, felony charges. It could be felony C, D, E, or F. It all depends to really the details of how this was found in the crime scene and how, what level it falls into. Every case would be different.
Okay.
So yes, I'm very excited. I am a little tired, but I am just so happy to have seen that law be passed on Senate floor. And I passed the law in the memory of Scott J. Beagle, who was a teacher, really a hero, who gave his life to save the lives of his own students. As I'm sure you know, he was a teacher. He's a Long Island native, and he was teaching at Marjorie Stone Douglas High School in Florida.
Well, thank you for all your hard work getting this pushed through. And it's so important that these things happen, and you've been quite a voice for that, and we're so grateful for that.
Thank you.
It's just amazing. And you know, I know we're also interested in a lot of the committees that you're part of, which there are many. I know Otto's really interested in hearing about the Internet and Technology Committee. And Otto, why don't you elaborate a little bit more on your interest?
Yeah, first, I'm a big proponent of seniors learning as much as they can learn on about the Internet and technology, even if it's just the basics of being able to access the Internet and do email. And then from there, you can do a lot of other things. But I'm kind of on a bandwagon lately. I've had some family experiences where family members wound up going into the hospital, 97 years old, broke their hip. There they are. They get dropped off at the emergency room door. Nobody can go in with them. And they're in there on their own. And then they're in there for several days and super difficult to communicate and find out what's going on with that person. Then they end up finally getting a phone call. Oh, you're going to wind up in rehab, which was kind of silly because this person couldn't even stand. But so they're going to send him to rehab. And then he goes to rehab. And then they find out, well, no, they can't really do rehab because he can't get out of the chair. So now they decide he's going to go to a nursing home. All of this is going on with like maybe 3 minutes of communication over a week. And long story short, this man who was 97 years old ended up dying with nobody with him. And he had five children and they couldn't be with him. So where I'm going with this whole thing is the new normal has to change, in my opinion. And I believe part of that would be nursing homes, hospitals, whatever. And I'm not the technical wizard that can do this, but I'm suggesting that the TVs in hospitals or nursing homes should be smart TVs, and the ability to communicate with the doctor or the patient, whoever's there, that should become the normal and the expected method, as opposed to somebody, taking a phone and saying, well, maybe I can do you a favor and I'll let you do FaceTime for 30 seconds with your father or your mother or whoever. So anyhow, that's my story. And, I've had a number of situations that I've heard about lately where it's very sad, it's not humane. And I believe that internet and technology can help in that arena. So that's why I'm curious, what does the Internet and Technology Committee do?
So we look at internet technology as chaired by Senator Savino, who I respect very much. She has a long history in New York State Senate and really is very informative about different legislations that come. Those legislations really come through advocates, people like yourself, where they have an idea and they come to us and say, this would be a good legislation for you to pass. And of course, we do our homework to see if it's right and pass it and bring it to the Senate floor for a vote and follow through. But I couldn't agree with you more with what you said. I think this pandemic has been hard on everyone. Every one of us here would rather be in that studio and doing this. But at least we have the opportunity to get together through Zoom and to conduct this. But I think if you're right, this has been even harder for our seniors. Harder because they're feeling very lonely. They are feeling very out of touch. They can't see their loved ones. Their loved ones can't come to visit them. Obviously, what the regulations that was put in place was really for their own safety, because we don't want to put them in a situation that their health is being compromised. But you're absolutely right. We have all of this technology. Unfortunately, some of this technology sometimes gets used in a bad way. Why don't we take it and turn it around, like you say, and use it in a way that is actually helpful? Especially to our seniors who are feeling very, very much neglected maybe. And that's not as a way of really neglecting them, but just the situation is what it is. And we're trying to do our best to minimize the adversity that one-on-one visits would have on their health. So yes, I agree with you. I will certainly look and see if there's anything we can do in New York State legislature to have to, or to make it easier for the nursing.